So Galatians chapter 3, and I'm going to go ahead and start off by reading verses 1 through 9. I'm getting ahead of myself here. But Galatians chapter 3, verses 1 through 9. And if you remember back in Galatians chapter 1, verse 6, Paul says that he's astonished. Well, he kind of keeps that trend going in Galatians chapter 3. And so in verse 1, he starts off by saying, "O foolish Galatians." You can kind of think of it like this: "O foolish Galatians, I am astonished that this is going on." And so in verse 1, "O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? It was before your eyes that Jesus Christ was publicly betrayed as crucified." And so let me ask you only this: did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by hearing with faith? Are you so foolish, having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh? Did you suffer many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? Does he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you do so by works of the law or by hearing with faith? Just as Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. Know then that it is those of faith who are the sons of Abraham. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, "In you shall all the nations be blessed." So then those who are of faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. And so with that, let's go to the Lord in prayer. We thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you for what you have provided for us. We thank you that you have given us the letters that Paul has written to the churches, particularly here, the churches in Galatia. Help us to glean from it. Help us to understand how to apply it to our lives as well. And Lord, we thank you for what you're doing in all of this. It's to your glory and to your honor. Amen. And so, faith. Faith, it's an interesting topic, and it is something that we exercise every day to some degree or another. As a matter of fact, you are exercising that right now. You don't realize it, but you really are. Exercise faith from things as things that are complicated to things that are very simple. Right now, you are sitting in this pew. You came in here, you sat down in it, and you were quite confident that when you sat down in it, nothing was going to happen, that it was going to hold you up, and everything would be great and grand. You had faith that that was going to happen. And so, faith is something that we exercise every day. You got in your car, you drove here this morning. You had faith that your car was going to get you here this morning. When you got here, you just exercise faith on a constant, ongoing basis. But if you were to mention things of faith to people around you, you would get a wide variety of responses. Some people would probably engage and talk to you about faith in Christ, faith in God, whatever it may be. Some people would be glad to tell you about their faith. Some people would probably embellish. But there are some people who would kind of want to avoid the topic, avoid the situation, and kind of scurry away, so to speak. And then there would be the other extreme in all of this. You'd have people who would voice their adamant opposition to anything of faith, especially when it comes to the things of Jesus Christ. And so faith, it's a very interesting topic. But it's something that we exercise every day. And the thing is, faith is not tangible. I cannot measure faith with any kind of instrument. I can't go out there and get something like a multimeter and say, okay, I want to hook this side to this arm, hook this side to this arm, and start tweaking some things and measure faith. I can't do it. There's no light bulb that glows on top of our head or anything like that. I don't see it. It's not tangible. And so I don't have any way of measuring it per se, but I do recognize the actions that flow from faith, such as sitting in the pew right now. So So how many of us have ever walked across a swinging bridge? Now, I mean a true, legitimate swinging bridge. I'm not something that kind of looks like a swinging bridge, but something that is truly a legitimate swinging bridge that when somebody walks across it, that thing does this and does this. I have. How many of y'all have ever been like, I do not want to walk across that thing? If you've ever been hiking, ever done anything like that, and you come across a trail that kind of goes over a little bit of a ravine, and you've got to walk across this bridge, and you're thinking, do I really want to do this? Because it does not look like it's the most sturdy, stable thing in the world. And you come to this bridge, and you're just like, what do? Am I going to cross the bridge or not? I'm going to have faith that this bridge is going to do what it's supposed to do, hold me up, and I can walk right across. I have been in front of swinging bridges before and thought that thing could not even hold up a squirrel as it ran across the bars of it, and let alone, you know, some 200-pound man that's wanting to traipse across it. And so you're going to have to exercise faith. You're going to have to take the step. You're going to have to walk out there on it and say, hey, listen, I need to get to the other side, so this is the way I'm going to go. Of course, you have the other alternative. You can say, well, I'm just going to do it my way, and I'm going to start building a bridge right now to get to the other side. Faith. Faith. So there are a lot of things that scares us about the swinging bridge. It could be the height, it's the appearance, it could be just the fact that it swings, it's unstable. You're going to think, by the time I get across it, I will be sick to my stomach because of the height and because of the fact that this thing wobbles so much. Yet what does it take to encourage us to go ahead and cross the bridge? Some folks actually have that courage. They have that, I'm going to do this. We're going to jump on it. We're going to go across it. And some of us are kind of reserved, sometimes like I am. You come to it, you're like, I am not quite too sure about this. And you stand there and you think about this for a little bit. Next thing you know, 30 minutes has gone by and you're thinking, do I really have to do this? So what encourages me to go ahead and cross the bridge? Well, when you see others cross the bridge. When you see that somebody else has actually made it across this bridge that's not going to work. It's not going to happen. But when you see somebody else go across it, you're like, maybe this could actually work a little bit. This could actually do it. And so this morning when you came here and you sat down in this pew, it encouraged me that when I sit down in this pew, it's going to hold me up. I'm confident that it can do it. Why? Because it's holding you up. Now, if I came in here and I saw everybody standing, nobody was going to touch those pews and they were going to stay back, I'm sitting there thinking, is there something wrong with the pew? All right. Faith. We have examined chapters 1 and chapters 2. Here in Paul's letter to the churches in Galatia. And of Paul's letter, of all the letters that Paul has written, this is his first letter, and I have to say, what a way to start. What a way to start your first letter. Here you are, you could be writing any kind of letter. You could be saying, hey, listen, oh, it's so great that you are a believer in Christ. Look at all these wonderful things. And he could write this wonderful letter. But this letter is not this wonderful letter. When in verse 6 of chapter 1, starts off by saying, I am absolutely astonished at what you are doing. That does not sound to me like this is going to be a letter that says, congratulations, good job, well done, my good and faithful servant. No, he's astonished. He's like amazed that you're doing something that you should not be doing. And so in chapters 1 and chapters 2, he lays all of that out. Paul, shortly after preaching the gospel to the church or to the people in Galatia, he noticed that these new believers were being bewitched. They were being spellbound by somebody else. In other words, someone else or some other group of people had come in here and said, well, yeah, we know what Paul said, but let me tell you what really it should be like. And Paul is astonished that these people in the area of Galatia so quickly followed after those people and what they had to say. And so these Jewish people who kind of followed Paul around, they came to the churches in Galatia, and they preached that the Mosaic Law must be added to the works of Jesus Christ. They were called Judaizers. Essentially, they were saying that a Gentile must follow at least parts of the Mosaic Law. They kind of had to become a Jew. Paul sees this addition as something that was very appalling to him. And you and I, we are not Jewish, but yet today in the church, we do very similar things. We add to the work of Jesus Christ. Sometimes we do it and we don't even realize that we're doing it. Such as Bible reading. Oh, look at me. Look at the things I have done. I have read through God's Word like hundreds of times. You know, let's put that up there. Check it off. I've got a mark up there for that. Hey, I came to church. I have been faithful to church so long in my life. Put another one up there for that. I'm just adding. Every time I think about these things, I'm adding to the work of Christ. Hey, what about our tithes and our offering? I really give to the church. You got to look at it. I give a lot of money. I am faithful to my giving each week. Every time I can, I give to the church. Put that up there too. Baptism. Yep. When I accepted Christ as my Savior, I got baptized. Yes. I'll put that up there too. What about communion? Oh, yeah, every time I take communion, there we go. I'm going to put that up there, too. Matter of fact, Bible study, I came to Bible study, and any time we have Bible study, I'm going to do that, too. Put a mark up there for that. You know something? I told somebody about Jesus Christ. I shared the gospel. I did what a person is supposed to do as a Christian, and that is share the gospel. Guess what? Put that up there, too. Matter of fact, I only listen to good, godly, Christian music. I don't even care if it's Matthew West. He's still a Christian. He sings good Christian music, and I listen to him. Gaith Vocal Band. Whatever. Put it in there. I only listen to it. My family. I'm a good, faithful father. Good, faithful mother. I provide for my family. I'm going to put that up there, too. I have got to be a Christian because of that. Because look at how well I take care of my family. Look at how well I provide for my family. They're the priority in my life. I serve in the church. I am faithful at serving in the church. I do all sorts of works, do all sorts of things around the church, whatever it may be. I'm going to put that up there, too. About being the pastor. I'm the pastor of the church. That's got to count for something, right? Look at me. I am the pastor. 1-2 for that one. And at the end of the day, I don't care how many things you tack up there on the board, none of those things will add to the work of Christ. That's exactly the things that we do in the church today. We do those things without even realizing it. We think of those things and we ponder back on those things and we think, oh, I was such a good Christian. Look at all the things that I've done. I must be saved. It adds to it somehow. Well, for Paul and the Galatians, these Judaizers were coming in there and saying, hey, listen, you've got to adhere to the Jewish law. Otherwise, at Christ, you've got to tack these things on. And Paul says, you are foolish for thinking that. Today we are foolish for thinking the same thing. That we can add to the work of Jesus Christ. These are not the things that save you. These are not the things that bring you into a right relationship with God. Those are things that should be an outflowing of your relationship with God. It should be something that says, hey, listen, because of what Christ has done for me, because of what he has done in my life, because I have placed my faith in what he has done for me, Lord, use me. I open myself up to you. I am yours. I surrender. Show me where you want me to go. Show me what you want me to do. And I'm going to tell you, it will impact your life from everything from where you work to what you do in the church to how much you give to whether or not you do Bible study. All of these things, it'll impact your Bible reading when you open up and say, hey, listen, I'm yours. I surrender. When these things in our lives are stripped away, the only thing that we are left with is faith. That was Paul's point exactly. And Paul, he masterfully takes the Galatian churches back to a point, back to a place in time that would be applicable to the Jewish people, to a time and the place of the Jewish nation where there was no law. Where there was none of that. And he takes them back to the time of Abraham. A time when there was no Ten Commandments. A time where there was no giving of the law. A time when there was not even circumcision, which identified people of God with God. He goes back to Abraham. So, about our swinging bridge. Who are the people that have crossed that swinging bridge before us? If you go to Hebrews chapter 11, we oftentimes call that the hall of faith. Those people who have gone on before us and said, hey, listen, I have stepped out by faith. I have followed him. You can do the same. And so there's a whole chapter in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, that talks about these people who have stepped out by faith, and by faith, they were counted as righteous before God. Not because of what Abraham did, not because of what any of the other people in the book of in Hebrews chapter 11 did, but only because they stepped out by faith and followed him. Matter of fact, if you go to Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, the writer states that, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Looking to who? Looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him. In other words, it satisfied him. Jesus saw it as a joy to do what? To endure the cross, despising the shame, and now is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. And so as chapter 3 of the book of Galatians starts, Paul asks some very rapid-fire questions. He says, who has bewitched you? Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by hearing with faith? He says, are you so foolish, having begun by the Spirit, that you are now being perfected by the flesh? Did you suffer so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? Does he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you do so by works of the law or by hearing with faith? And so these series of questions were designed to make them think about faith. The Galatians believers had become spellbound. Let's draw it back in. Let's think about your faith. And so he's trying to get them to think about this. Think about this. Let's go through this and think about what has happened. And so that word who in verse 1 says, who has bewitched you? That word who is not plural, it is singular. It recognizes the fact that there is a singular source to this whole thing. The singular source. Who is the singular source of confusion, of lies in this world from the very beginning? Satan. The devil. He says, who has bewitched you? Who's the one who's really doing this? Who's the one in the background that is really trying to pull you away from faith in Christ? To tack on something else to what Christ has done? Who's doing this? Who's bewitching you? Think about its source. Goes on to ask a series of questions that are based on their experiences after their faith. And so I want to make a distinction here as we look at this, that it is experiences after their faith. After their faith. And so he says, did you receive the Spirit through the works of the Mosaic Law? In other words, did the Holy Spirit come into your life when the Mosaic Law was there? And the answer is no. The Holy Spirit didn't come into your life until after Christ's work on the cross, and you have accepted that by faith. That is when the Holy Spirit came into your life, not the law. He goes on to say, that you are foolish in thinking that by the flesh you can perfect what the Spirit started. Let me kind of explain that a little bit here. The Holy Spirit starts the work in your life, and you're thinking, oh, well, guess what? I can take over and I can pick up the slack. Wait. If you could pick up the slack the first time, then you wouldn't need the Spirit in the first place. Does that make sense? You wouldn't need the work of the Holy Spirit in your life in the first place if you could pick up the slack to begin with. Oh, foolish Galatians, to think that you can make what God started any better. He goes and asks, he goes ahead and asks them, do they suffer? In other words, is there persecution because of the law or because of your faith in Christ? What happened? You know, people were all comfortable under the law, following all of those traditions, all of those ceremonies, following all of those things. Everything was all comfortable with that. Did you find persecution in that? Or did you find persecution when you accepted Christ as your Savior? When did that start happening? When the truth was realized. That's when it started happening, because people were rejecting the truth, and that's when you started suffering. Goes on to say that did the Father send the Spirit or work miracles through the law? No. The expected response to that is no. It was only through their faith in Christ that miracles were seen, that the Spirit indwelled them as believers. If the law could supply the miracles and the Holy Spirit, then it should have already been happening, but it was not. As you look through the Old Testament, those who lived by faith were the ones that the Spirit was supplied to. The same thing is true in the New Testament. So it goes back even further than all of this. He goes back to the person of Abraham. If you look in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, the writer of Hebrews says it goes all the way back to right after the fall. You see how Abel, by faith, offered a better sacrifice to God. Faith. It was faith. for the Jewish community, all of this started with Abraham. That's where they pride themselves. We are children of Abraham. They prided themselves in that fact. And Paul answers to that fact. He says, oh, you want to pride yourself in Abraham? You want to pride yourself in the things of the Mosaic Law? You want to pride yourself in Moses? You can be a physical descendant of Abraham and still not be a child of God. So it goes back to faith. It goes back to a promise of old. And so Paul, he trumps the Judaizers who want to focus on the Mosaic Law, wants to focus on Moses, who want to focus on their physical lineage with Abraham. And he says, now I'm going to trump all of that right now. We're going to fix that. And so in verses 7, 8, and 9, he discusses Abraham. Now, this promise of old, in this promise of old, Paul points out a few things. And the very first thing he points out is that relationship with God depends on faith. Relationship with God depends or rests on faith, not the law. See, what is often forgotten is that Abraham stepped out by faith before any law was ever given. Even before the idea of circumcision was entertained, Abraham stepped out by faith. Before Abraham was even considered a Jew, there was faith. Abraham was a Gentile. We have to step back and we have to think of that aspect, is that there was a point in time when Abraham wasn't a Jew. And that when he was called to leave and go and do as God had asked, he had to step out by faith. He was a Gentile who was living by faith. And it wasn't until God established circumcision that they became this Jewish people. These Hebrews, as you find it in the Old Testament as well. And so Abraham, he stepped out by faith as a Gentile. And so Paul challenges these Galatians to think of their experience and then check that up with Scripture. Go back and think about what you experienced. He said, all of those things that you experienced happened after faith. Go back to Abraham. And he says, go back and think about what happened to Abraham. Did he have all of the experiences before his faith, or did he have it after his faith? And the answer is after his faith is when he got those things. By faith. Like I said earlier, I appreciate Greg reading that passage in the book of Genesis. That is the passage where verse 6 echoes, where it says, just as Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. Abraham's relationship did not start with the experiences. It did not start with the fact that he obeyed the law. Abraham's relationship with God started with faith. It depended on that. And so there were promises, there were experiences that flowed out of faith in God and His Word, and that relationship that began by faith. And so just as Abraham believed God and it's counted righteousness, so are the Galatians through faith in Christ are counted righteous. Now this is very important. Paul stresses that true children of Abraham are those who believe. Literally, it is those who ground their relationship with God and thus their very existence itself on the basis of faith. Not in any works of the law, not in any of those things. So these Jewish people who may pride themselves and rest on their physical heritage of being descendants of Abraham will find themselves outside the people of God because they lacked faith. maybe by now you've thought of the song, Father Abraham had many sons. Had many sons have Father Abraham. I am one of them, and so are you. So we think about that when we can read this passage of Scripture. Because we are sons of Abraham, not because we are physical descendants, but because just like Abraham stepped out by faith we do the same and accept what Christ has done for us. We are called sons of Abraham. So these Judaizers that come in and pride themselves on keeping the law and pride themselves on being physical descendants of Abraham, Paul says, no, that all comes crashing down because when you lack faith, I don't care how much of the law you keep, it means nothing. And so, relationship with God rests on faith. This is a very direct sting to these Judaizers. Those like Abraham who had faith will be counted as sons of Abraham, not those who are physical descendants. And so in verse 8, Paul continues this idea of relationship. And so the second point is that relationship with God is initiated by God. We sometimes kind of read through that and we kind of overlook that. But the whole point in all of this is that God initiated something with Abraham. It wasn't the other way around. God came to Abraham and initiated the relationship. It's a very important part of this. This is the plan of God. This is not man's plan. This is not Abraham's plan. God came to redeem us. That was a plan that started after the fall of Adam and Eve. It was reaffirmed in the calling of Abraham and the promises that were given to him. Abraham was part of God's plan to be a blessing to all of the world. This blessing was not found in the Jewish people's contribution to society. The Jewish people have contributed a lot to our society, whether it's technologically, medically, whatever it may be. The Jewish community has contributed a lot to our society, but that is not what is being discussed here. When God gave the promise to Abraham, God gave a promise that says, in your offspring, I will give you these things. Not in your social life, not in your intelligence, not in those things, but in your offspring, I will give you these things. And so this was going to be a blessing to all the nations that was going to be found in a physical seed. And so God, he reaffirmed these promises that he made with Abraham to Jacob, his grandson, in Genesis chapter 26. And in that instance, he emphasized the part that in your offspring, all nations will be blessed. Paul recognized the gospel in a promise of old and the promises that were made to Abraham. So relationship is initiated by God. It's God's plan of redemption. It's a redemption that is found in Jesus Christ. And then the final thing that we can see here is that there is a relationship, or that this relationship with God is blessed. And that word blessed there is favored. A relationship with God brings favor. Brings favor. So in going along with what Paul has already stated in chapters 1 and chapters 2, being blessed means being made right and justified before God. I'm in favor. I'm in good standing with God. Why? Because of my relationships that's based on faith, not the fact that I have tallied up all of these things over here and says, look at what I have done. It counts as nothing. It is by faith. And so just as Abraham was made righteous before God because of his faith, so then is everyone made righteous through faith, that is, in Abraham's offspring, faith in Jesus Christ. And so Paul makes it abundantly clear that faith in Jesus Christ establishes a relationship in which we as everybody, can be blessed. We can stand before God as being favored. We can stand before God as being righteous, as being justified before Him, because prior to that, no matter what we do, no matter how good we try to make ourselves, all of our righteousnesses are as what? Filthy rags. It doesn't work. No matter what we try to accomplish to clean ourselves up, it doesn't work. And that's the reason why when somebody gives you the excuse of saying, hey, listen, I'm going to clean myself up and then I'll come to church. I'm going to clean myself up. Let me get things right here first. Stop them and say, no. The only way you're going to get things right is it starts with your faith in Christ. Start there. Let Him work in your life. Let Him work. Let Christ make you stand before God. And so, church, my brothers and sisters in Christ, how does this affect us and influence us? How does this affect us and influence us? When I look out over the crowd and I see that you have come to church this morning, I praise God. And if I ever see you not here, I don't think, oh no, they have fallen away. Because your relationship with God is not based on your church attendance. Because your relationship with God is not how, you know, I have read this Bible from cover to cover 18 times in my lifetime. I have faithfully read God's word. The bottom line comes to it is, what is your faith in? What are you trusting? My prayer is, are you going to allow that faith in Christ to flow out of your life? So that this is not getting you into heaven, but reading this is an outflow of your relationship with God. That coming to church is an outflow of your relationship with God. That you come to that point to where you come and be a servant to God out of an outflow of your relationship with Him. Not as a way to tack it up here and say, oh, that's another mark for me. That's another mark for me. But that these things are outflows. Paul sits back and says, oh, you foolish Galatians, you've got it. You've got it flipped. Those things don't make you right before God. The things that make you right before God is your faith. And he says, if anything, things that you do in your life should be an outflow from your faith in Him. That will change your view of the world. That will change your view of other people. That will change your view of other believers in Christ. When your relationship with Him is not based on the things that you have done in this world, but based on your relationship through faith in Him. Paul is trying to get them to understand. You get it all wrong, you get it backwards, and you have a church, you have a religion that is based on works and not based on trusting in Him, relying in Him, having faith in Him. And as you look around, I want you to recognize the places, recognize the things that have been established that rests on the works, that rests on the experiences and not the faith. And I encourage you to think, who has peace? Who has comfort and strength? I have gone through enough things in my life to know that if I based my relationship with God on the fact that I read His Word every day, I would have no peace. I would be a miserable human being. If I based my relationship with God on the fact that I was at church on a very faithful, consistent basis, I would be very, very, very depressed. My relationship is based not on those things, not on the fact that I take in communion, not on the fact that I have been baptized, not on the fact that that I have surrounded myself with good, godly Christian people. My relationship with God is based on the fact that I place my faith and trust in Him alone. And I rest in Him. Pray for your fellow believers in Christ, that we don't fall into this trap of, well, did you do this today? Did you do that today? Pray for each other. Pray that the Lord will strengthen and encourage believers in Christ, that faith will be not rooted on the things that we do, but rooted on faith alone in Christ. It's an easy trap for us to get into. And Paul reminds the Galatians and says, you've fallen into that trap. You've fallen into the fact that you're resting on the law. And he says, who has bewitched you? Who has told you this lie? Goes back to Satan. At the very beginning of the Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve were there, what am I going to eat? What am I going to do? What am I going to have faith in? Satan was like, have faith in yourself. Have faith in something else. But don't trust in God. Don't have faith in you. Eat the fruit, it's okay. He's been doing it ever since. Paul says he's still doing it today. He still wants to bring that lie out. Satan still wants us to think that, oh, there's something that we can add to it. Oh, look at what I've done. Look at the fact that I have arrived. I'm a pastor of a church. I'm a faithful churchgoer. Mm-hmm. Praise God. Praise God. Not for the things that I have done, but praise God for what He has done for me. And may my faith rest in Him, in Christ alone, and nothing else. Freedom in Christ. Freedom in Christ. Freedom in Christ does not start with all of these things that we've talked about. The law, Moses, the Mosaic law. It doesn't start with church attendance. Freedom in Christ starts with a relationship based on faith. And it is truly freeing to know that, hey, listen, I am not made right because of anything that I do, because when it comes to that, I'm going to fall miserably. There's going to be a time when I'm broken and I can't get up. There's going to be a time when I have been beaten and I have been torn down. There's going to be a time when I lay in a hospital bed and I think I am about to die. It's not going to be all those things that I recall. All those things, I've been faithful at reading my word, at God's word. I've been faithful at going to church. I've been doing all of these things. I was a faithful servant. I worked in the church. I did those things. No, I'm going to sit back when I'm in that hospital bed. I'm going to think, praise God, I have faith in Christ. Praise God. Because it is through Him that all blessings flow. And the number one blessing that comes out of that is that I can stand before God justified. I can stand before Him as righteous, not based on my works. I hope you understand. I hope you understand and realize that what Paul tells the Galatians, even though he was telling it about Jewish people and the Mosaic law, we as a church, we fall into the same trap where we think that we can add and tack on to these things. Church, don't fall into it. I implore you. I encourage you, because when you come here in the morning, it's not, praise God for the things that I have done. Praise God for how well I have been coming to church. praise God for all of these things that I have done. Praise God for what you have done for me, for Christ alone, through faith alone. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. You have loved us. You have shown us that love. We thank you for what you're doing for us. Help us, Lord, that when we come, whether to church, whether any aspect of our life, no matter if it is in a time of excitement, a time of joy, no matter where we are in our life, that we can come to you by faith. Not because of the works that we have done. We will fail miserably every time. Lord, help us as we trust and rest in you. The things that you have provided, your provisions, the provision of salvation through Christ. And as Paul draws this point out in the book of Galatians, that you are free, that there is freedom in Christ. Help us to understand that freedom in Christ is based on a relationship that is grounded in faith, not in the works that we do. We thank you and we praise you for what you've done for us. And it is to your glory and to your honor.